Mic, speaker mic.
Yeah.
How do I sound now?
You sound great. Are you ready to rock and roll?
Yeah. I just wanted to figure out these settings with this new thing, and now I'm fucking golden, dude. I'm sorry. First time. I'm a virgin. It's like, dude, I can't get it up. I'm sorry.
We need to isolate that audio.
Well, speaking of virgins, the rumor has it in these movies and the cat people are also virgins until they find the other cats they're looking for. I actually want to start tonight with a quote. Sometimes there's another sound, a panther. It screams like a woman. That's from the 1942 Cat People horror film, which we're covering tonight. You know, it's that time of year again. That's why we're doing movies like this, because at this time of the year, pretty much everybody is going to be watching some horror movies, and we have some for you to watch. We're going to deliver a series of double features. We decided to take a look at horror movies and the horrific remakes, or maybe we're going to discover that the remakes are more deadly than the originals. So stay tuned is my recommendation. We'll be right back after the theme song plays. Introduce you to our show as Binge Watchers.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers podcast.
Back with some home video headlines. AMC Fear Fest is rolling out all their horror movies for this month. I mean, they're going to do the original Halloween movies set in the original continuity. You got Final Destination series. You got the classics like Christine, Carrie, The Fly, The Crazy, and 13 Ghosts. Huluween is going to have stuff like Martyrs, which is a really crazy... Ooh, it's either a Spanish or Mexican. Yeah, that's...
No, it's like French.
I thought it was French or European, right?
Yeah.
And then if you want a lighter fare than that, you can... All three Blade movies are available on Hulu this month.
Yes, give me the Blade.
Peacock is doing something funny, and Dave can't get enough of this name. Peacocktober has pretty much everything you could think of. They have all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, all the Friday the 13th. They got the Phantasm series, all the Child plays, all the original Elvira late night specials, all the Predators, all the Psychos even, which is pretty cool. I don't know if anybody's ever ran out all four of those or the originals or whatever with Anthony Perkins. And what's really funny is they're also going to feature Cat People 1982, which is part of our double feature tonight. Or like the fates align. We're talking about this movie and everybody's going to be watching it this month. And of course, as we said a little while ago before the intro song, tonight's feature presentation is actually double feature. It's a review and conversation about Cat People 1942 and Cat People 1982. What is the 1942 movie about? Irina, played by Simone Simon, who turns out is like a well-regarded French actress who, when she died, there was this big thing about her in the French editorials and whatever. That's film history, folks. She plays a New York City-based fashion designer who hails from Serbia. She begins a romance with a marine engineer named Oliver Reed, played by Kent Smith. No relation to the actor Oliver Reed. After the couple gets married, Oliver becomes concerned about Irina's notion that she's cursed and may transform into a large cat in the heat of passion. Confiding in his beautiful assistant Alice, played by Jane Randolph, who I looked her up. I wish she was in more movies. She's actually pretty cool as the supporting role in this movie. So Oliver's having a hard time with his marriage. He confides in her. She's in love with him, of course, and that's where the drama unfolds. And then this all starts to trigger Irina's curse with tragic results, as Google likes to say. Or that's how they entice you in the TV guide with tragic results. See if there's actually a curse. Yeah. And then 82 is billed like this. In the sensual and violent horror tale, Irina, played by Natasha Kinski, has a dark family secret. One that surfaces dramatically when she reconnects with her estranged brother, Paul, played by Malcolm McDowell. Living with her sibling in New Orleans, Irina finds herself enamored with the zoologist Oliver Yates, played by none other than Home Alone's dad, John Hurd. Even as her brother makes his own advances toward her, incestually crossing all kinds of boundaries, it's not long before the dark and dangerous curse of their clan rears its feline head. I don't have to spoil these movies because the titles literally tell you what they're about. They're about cat people. My work is done for me. You know? I don't have to. There's not much I have to do. Dave found out all kinds of cool stuff about these movies. I'm going to turn it over to my man, Dangerous David.
All right. Let me pull up my facts here. All right. So The original Cat People 1942 was actually part of a string of lower budgeted movies that RKO Pictures was putting out to try to recoup the cost from, of all things, Citizen Kane, because it was a financial bomb for the studio. Cat People was actually budgeted.
By the way, what year was Cat People?
1942.
And
what year was Citizen Kane? Was it
41?
Right before
Cat People. Okay. Just trying to figure that. Okay. So they hired Val Lewton to make low budget movies. It was budgeted at 125, actually came in at about 142, but I saw different things online about how much it made, but everybody agrees roughly about $1 million in 1940s dollars against the budget. That did pretty well. So one of the reasons producer Val Lewton made this movie is because he was from originally Russia, and he was genuinely afraid of cats because of an old Russian folklore about cats. So, like, you know, he thought, that scares me, so let's make a movie about it. So the cinematographer from the remake, John Bailey, stated the pool scene in the remake is almost shot for shot the original, because they figure they can't do any better. It's just a classic spooky scene. In the 80s one, the black leopards in the movie were actually cougars that had their hair dyed black, because you can't train a leopard. So, you know, you did not actually see leopards. Black leopards. And I had to look that up, because I was like, leopards have spots, but there are actually black leopards that are not panthers.
But they're not supposed to be leopards anyway. They're supposed to be panthers.
Well, but they keep saying leopard throughout the movie. Like, that's...
No. What they say, I wrote this down. The zookeeper says, like, onto a leopard, but not actually a leopard, the beast in the Bible. The interpretation is like a leopard, just referring to like a scary cat, right?
Yeah.
But not a leopard, which basically ties into like the mythology of the movie. But I got those notes. We'll get to that.
Well, in any case, they were not actually even leopards. They were, panthers. They were just cougars dyed black. So I don't know about you guys.
How did they dye in black? That's crazy.
I guess they drug them and
put them under.
Not to get off track, but like in 82, they have animation. Some of the cat is animated, it's supposed to be off its chain, clearly, like, there's one close-up scene with the cat where they're like, "Oh yeah, you have to keep it in a chain and collar because it would probably eat the actor's face off." You know.
So this one, you guys can feel free to call BS on me. This is not listed anywhere, but I was going through the Blu-ray features, and director Paul Schrader said that he never considered this to be a remake, and that there was only one scene he put into as a homage to the original, and that's where the two ladies are at the bar, and somebody approaches, an older woman approaches them. However, I don't know about you guys. I find far too many similarities between the original and this one to not say it's not based on that. The character names are the same.
I was going to say the most memorable scene in the movie is the pool scene recreated.
The pool scene in the original, that's my, I'm already.
Yeah. And they,
my
and
favorite the, bit, like, I'm just yeah. saying, like, did they and do the, that in part?
Oh yeah. They did it on purpose. And they even replicated jump scares. Like, I distinctly, when I watched the remake,
the bus,
I recognize the bus jump scare.
Did
exactly.
they do the bus? Oh
yeah.
Okay. And but I have not seen the okay.
Got yeah. It. But Paul Schrader says, like, there's only one thing that ties it to the original. I'm sorry. I'm going to call BS on you, Paul Schrader. I do like him as a director, but I'm calling BS.
Gotcha.
Wilbur Stark, bought the rights to a bunch of the RKO library and intended to make a whole series of horror remakes. But the box office failure of this and The Thing, also from RKO, kind of backed him off from that.
The originals or the new or the 80s ones?
The 80s one.
Okay.
But, you know, we kind of like talked today about like too many horror remakes. However, this came out in the middle of the 70s and the 80s, where there was a string of remakes from like 40s and 50s horror movies.
So many.
This came in the middle of The Thing, like I just mentioned, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, The Fly, Nosferatu the Vampire. We just talked about, me and John, Invasion of the Body Invaders from Mars in the 80s and 50s. So, like, we've been remaking all of our horror movies for years.
I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind. Okay.
So we've been remaking movies for years.
The other major departures from 42 to 82 is, like, he changed the mythology, the origin of the cat people. Like, he has some weird African rural ritualistic thing in the wild where they're looks like they're going to sacrifice somebody, but then she mates with the cat, and then we have cat people.
Right.
In the original movie, it's like King John of Serbia, which is like near Hungary, whatever. I don't know the geography exactly, the history here, but they break the country into three countries. This mercenary captain becomes one of the kings. He goes to this village and drives out all the evil people that are worshiping Satan or something like that. But then the smart ones, the wicked ones, go into the hills and they're the cat people, right? So that's a 42 version, as opposed to, you know, tribes in the desert or whatever, right? Worshiping at that tree or whatever that you saw in the beginning of Schrader with the weird music, the weird soundtrack, which was pretty cool. I mean, the soundtrack is really good in the 80s.
Soundtrack's great, yeah.
Well, it's Giorgio Moroder, who was like a big 80s producer for... musical people like Adam Ant, like whatever. So, you think of 80s, you think Jordy or Maru.
We're talking around our favorite bits, and I think we can all agree we all like the pool. I like the pool in both movies. I'm sure we're going to come to the same.
The pool scene in the 40s version is incredible, especially for the time. I thought it was beautiful. The sound design, the look, I loved it. Yeah.
Nick, did you catch that there was a lighting cue inside the therapist's office? But right after the cue, it actually revealed that, like, the therapist's office was lit by a giant film light, but it was actually part of the scenery. Like, it was just included in the scene.
I saw something like that, and I didn't know. Like, what the hell was going on with that? Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote that down in my notes. Film light in the shrink's office, question mark.
And by the way, I love the storyline. Like in the 40s version, like, this guy loves this girl, but then he goes for another girl. I love the whole plot storyline.
Yeah,
that's great.
So is that your favorite bit? Like, let's try to stay on track.
My favorite bit is the pool scene. But the also pool? I love the fact that, like, there's like two females and then, of course,
Alice, I hate to say, like, the pussy. So he's talking out. Nick's talking about the 40. So okay, let me make it clear for the audience.
I'm doing the 40s version. I have not seen the 80s version. So
but they don't know what the pool scene is. So okay, Nick watched Cat People 42. Mm-hmm. The assistant Alice, who I was mentioning in the plot, who's in love with the main character. Then it becomes two catty females competing with each other.
Yes.
So she stalks this woman to her, like, the gymnasium, and there's a pool there. And so she's going to go for a swim because she feels like she's being followed and wants to be in a place that she feels comfortable. And then you hear the panther in the background, and you see all these shadows and the water playing off the walls. And I would swear that the filmmaker of It Follows has seen cat people, because what he does with the pool stuff too is like,
oh, exactly.
So
it totally copies it.
And then when the light switches on, it's obviously just the other woman who we're going to find out, spoiler alert, is the cat person. You know, when Irina turns the light on, you no longer hear the cat noises, but she's like, has been stalking the other woman the whole time. Dave, you got some favorite bits?
Well, yeah. In the original, I mean, I knew somebody was going to say the pool scene. I love it too, but I figured I got to come up with something else.
Yeah.
There's a great scene in the original where it turns into like a surrealist moment where there's animation. She's having a dream sequence of these cats. They're clearly animated, and it's just kind of like a Salvador Dali, or, like, not to get too pretentious, but like, it's a very Salvador Dali-esque scene. And I just love the overall tone of the original. I mean, Val Lewton was a guy known for having to work on a budget, and he worked well. I mean, this movie is just, if you describe this movie in one word, I would say shadows, and it uses it so effectively.
It's really beautiful, right? Like, I mean, they nailed it.
I mean, it's too easy. I mean, 1940s movies.
For 40s.
There's a lot of, I mean, Dave, you said atmosphere. Like, we talked before the show.
A lot of atmosphere.
It's like the start of, like, horror movies building an atmosphere to scare people rather than just showing you everything. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, the setup in this original is great. Like, the kitten is scared of the lady who's going to end up being the cat person, right? Like, the dude buys her a cat as, like, a new relationship gift, and it's afraid of her. Then they go back to the pet store, like, hey, there's something defective with this kitten. No, all the pets at the pet store are scared of Catwoman. You know, like they're all afraid of her. And then there's a woman that shows up at their wedding who the other guests say looks like a cat, right? You guys mentioned something like that earlier about the plot being set up. And then you mentioned the zookeeper who, like, relates it all to Bible references, right? Like, oh, the beast in the Bible looks like a leopard but isn't a leopard, implying that, like, there's something more terrifying out there, a beast-like human or something that could... that could cause harm.
But, I'll do another quick bit from the 80s one. I think, I don't know.
We're going to jump into the 80s one now. So
we're doing
40s. Yeah.
40s right now, right? Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So if we're ready for 82, we can jump right into 82.
I just want to say I love the 40s version. I thought it was beautiful, and I'm all about it. Check it out. Definitely.
it's a classic for a reason.
Classic.
So, yeah. I mean, my first note about 82 is the dad from Home Alone, John Hurd, straps the naked cat lady to a bed. Like, yeah. that's what I got written down
this
here.
This is way
like,
different from the 40s version.
It's, I mean, this, I think I told you guys in the chat, I mean, the early 80s was like the transformation era, and this kind of falls into that, but nobody really compares it to those. I mean, the scene where Ed Begley Jr., I mean, spoiler alert, gets his arm ripped off, I mean, is brutal. I mean, just even for today's standards, it is brutal. Like, the blood just gushes everywhere. I mean, and, you know, they're being artistic with it.
I'll back you up on that, too, because I wrote down Ed Begley Jr., what a goner. As soon as you see that he's in the cast in the beginning, like, in the beginning of this movie, the cat is in a has transformed, killed a hooker, and is stuck in a motel room. So they call the zookeepers to come to collect it. And then we find here's the zoo crew. It's Annette O'Toole, Ed Begley Jr., and John Hurt is their boss. And the three of them go to collect this out-of-control panther that's, like, destroying the motel room. And that's Malcolm McDowell. He's already transformed into a cat at this point. But you see Ed Begley Jr. walk in. He's fresh-eyed. You know, he's in his 20s or whatever. He's got his little zookeeper hat on. You're like, oh, man. Yeah, he's super young. You're like, oh, no. He's the friend that's going to get killed, right? Yeah. And then sure enough, yeah, as Dave said, he violently gets his arm bitten off, and he bleeds to death inside the zoo. So it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's a brutal kill.
But if you're fans of Annette O'Toole, the next note that I wrote down was she goes for a topless dip. They recreate the pool scene from the original, but it's a little more risque, but it's still just as terrifying. But if you're fans of Annette O'Toole, you're going to want to see her in this movie.
I mean, this is like the epitome of gratuitous because, I mean, I'm not complaining, but I mean, it literally adds...
Why does she dipping topless at the local gym or whatever? Like, yeah. That's a straight up 1980s people's behavior logic. It doesn't make any sense today, that's for sure. Like, it's straight up 1980s. Like, you'd have to ask somebody, you'd have to ask like your uncle, or you'd have to ask somebody that was like in their 30s, 20s or 30s in the 80s and be like, did you guys just go to the gym and just like, you know, go swimming with nothing? You know?
That's what we did. Yeah.
I think I told John in a private chat that like this movie, I think I said 1942, one word to describe it would be shadows. If I were to describe the 80s one in one word, I would say horny. Like, everybody wants to screw everybody in this movie, like, is what it comes down to.
Is it because?
Well, that's why he tied her to the bed, because the first time they tried to hook up, she almost clawed him to death, okay? Right. So this time he's like, let's take some precautions, all right? This is something that Nick would probably love, the cat autopsy, where when they finally gets the brother panther cut open, it's his half-human form is inside. Like, he cuts him open. There's like a membrane that separates, and you see like his shriveled up human hand.
Did I pick the wrong one to watch? I'm gonna watch both next time. I'm sorry. I picked the wrong one to watch. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you get to watch it on Peacocktober.
I guess so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not sponsoring us yet, Peacock. Let's see. What else is going on? Oh, I think I've run out of my notes. I think those are all my favorite bits. Generally I'm entertained by these. I was worried these guys weren't going to like the 42. Honestly, I didn't think it was going to be up their alley.
I loved it, John.
No, I'd seen it years ago, and I think when we were talking about this, we were trying to think of good originals and remakes, and this is one of the ones that jumped to mind.
I was all about the 42.
Yeah, but you got to think of attention spans.
I wanted to go there.
You know? Well, I was like, there's not a lot of people. They're watching two-minute YouTube videos. They're not going to go watch the way the 1942 movie plays out. You know, they're not going to have the attention span for it.
What you call
join on or don't. I don't know what to tell you.
Right? It's a slow burn.
So we can rate it then. Is it a binge now, binge later, binge never? 42 and 80.
I'm going to say binge now because, like, go into it knowing that it's a slow burn and you'll enjoy it. Like, and visually, it's incredible. I love the black and white. I love it. The shadows, the scariness.
This is interesting because I feel like we're going to rate the 42 higher than the 82, which probably nobody expects, because I'd say binge now 42 and binge later 82.
Yeah.
I'm going to say binge now to both, honestly, because I like them both for separate reasons. I mean, they both I love Paul Schrader. I mean, Paul Schrader is not known as being a genre director, but he does dip his toes into genre once in a while. He did one of the Exorcist. In fact, I mean, we don't have time for that, but like, he did one of the Exorcist movies that like got wiped clean, and then Renny Harlin made his own version.
He did the first Exorcist.
Exorcist the beginning. But
it was harsh though.
But I mean, but the point is like, he always tries to bring Paul Schrader is a very indie director, even though, I mean, he's had studios in the 80s behind him. But he's a very indie director that kind of like infuses something interesting into whatever genre he takes on. So, it, you know, to see him elevate that material, you know, doesn't surprise me. So I say binging out of both, honestly. They're both good for different reasons.
And then if you're looking for something else to watch this week, we'll see if there's any other recommendations. Nick, did you have time to watch anything else outside of the feature presentation?
I went to the classic Maniac Cop. You guys remember that movie?
I love Maniac Cop.
I still haven't seen it. I got it.
What, Bruce Campbell, Tom Atkins? Oh, my God. You have not seen Maniac Cop?
I have not. I know. It's one of those I haven't gotten to.
Oh, my gosh. And by the way, there's like two more sequels after this. But yeah. The original Maniac Cop, it's really cool. I would highly recommend it. It has the bad guy from Tango and Cash. Check it out.
Yeah, I've seen pieces of it.
I watched it again and I loved it.
Nice.
John, you've seen that, right?
What? Maniac Cop? I've seen all three.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually like Maniac Cop 2 the best. I don't know why.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I watched, actually I went down the rabbit hole because we watched these. I had the DVD or Blu-ray of Cat People, the 42 one. And, it was pretty, So it's produced by a guy, Val Lewton, who was like a horror maestro of the 40s. He was known for doing low budget, but effective, good quality, horror movies for RKO Studios. And in watching the documentary, they showed one that looked really interesting called I Walked with a Zombie. And in fact, there's an episode of the TV show Tales from the Crypt who was basically did a remake of this movie. That's the one with Whoopi Goldberg being a voodoo priestess, if anybody remembers that.
Is that the one where the guy brings his wife back?
Yeah, basically. So, I mean,
that was a good episode. Yeah. I totally remember the guy from Lisa.
I can't remember that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
But the plot of the movie is basically, I mean, I won't go into details, but otherwise, basically, yes, a woman gets brought back alive, somebody's wife, and they're trying to like cure her. So there's a lot of voodoo. I mean, some of the racial stuff may not fly today. I mean, it's a lot of voodoo. Mm-hmm. Although I will say to its credit, this movie has a pretty big African-American cast, and none of it's played up to the stereotypes of the times. There's no, you know, like, oh, you know, think of the 1940s and what stereotypical African-Americans sounded like in those movies. They actually don't do that in this movie, to its credit. It has one sequence where they have to go through a field, and there's, like, for lack of a better term, this zombie African-American standing there, and it has these, like, whited out eyes and just still, we talked about how the other movie uses shadows and sound effectively. This does just that. It knows when to be silent, to be scary. Like, you know, silence is the scariest sometimes, and it uses that effectively. Like there's a scene that really freaked me out. For a 1940s movie, if you ever watch Cat People like that, try I Walked with a Zombie.
I've heard about this movie for years. I want to check it out. Actually. Yeah.
Dude, so I just binge watched an entire season of Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso? You're on the board now.
Is that the Apple because, one with?
Well, here's the thing. Like,
the Emmy, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because of the Emmy, like my expectations were suddenly higher, and then I wanted to see what the hype was about, and then, at first it gave me serious Major League vibes. Like the owner of the team wants to crash the team. And tries to make the coach incompetent and have a series of events. They even at the end of the season quote the end of Major League where they're like, we just have to win the whole fucking season, right? That's like a quote from Major League. I swore. I've been trying really hard not to swear. Sorry, Mom. Okay. So Mom, she doesn't even really care in real life. Right? That's just like a thing that automatically popped in my head. You got to have catchphrases.
I agree.
Where was I? Oh, so I actually think it's the best that Apple has, from what I've seen. I've watched a couple other Apple shows, and I don't really.
I've never even
whatever.
Explored Apple.
It's the top. I mean, actually, Apple has a few good things, but I would agree it's probably the best thing that they have. I got hooked on it last year, so I mean, I'm kind of glad that John joined the train. I mean, it is addicting, and you kind of
you know what it is like. Every year we do a feel good movie month, and like literally. This show is like jazz. It brings the lows really low and the highs are really high. So you feel like every episode is almost like a encapsulated, like your endorphins are rushing like almost every episode. So it's like a feel good movie every episode. And it's like, you know, 10 a season or whatever, because it's like just like high cable, you know, it'd be like shorter season,
which yeah. is nice.
Well, you're like not up to the second season, but they expanded it by two episodes, and instead of a half hour show, it's like 45 minutes to an hour each episode now. So like clearly they got a little clout on their side to do whatever they
yeah,
want.
Yeah, I'll be diving in. I might watch three more after we're done with this podcast. Not that we're suddenly selling Apple television shows, but like,
Apple,
you know, who knows?
Sponsor, dude.
But a good show is a good show. I mean, it's got people talking, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of went in arms folded. I'm like, oh my God, this accent, like, oh, his odd gee whiz, everything's so great. And then you know what? You just kind of buy into it and you go for the ride. But yeah.
That's that for staff picks.
So, John, what's coming next week? Like, what's
all right. On? There's some coming attractions with Nikki Lates here.
What's coming?
We're
what's
actually
coming attractions. You know,
Dave mentioned it earlier. This is how things are just lining up perfectly. This
synergy.
Month. Like, he mentioned the thing from Another World earlier, and our next lineup for the double feature approach to the horror movies to watch is going to be the thing from Another World, who was like 51, I think, and then the 80s, the thing. You know, the John Carpenter movie. Yeah. So
this is not that, but I have the original.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's the 90s.
This is what was handy.
Or the 2000 version.
Oh yeah. Dave's holding up a DVD. Yeah. You can't see this at home, but Dave's holding up a copy of the thing.
My copy of the 80s one is downstairs.
So. Okay.
Oh, you're holding up the prequel one, right?
From the 2000s.
Just because it was handy. Yeah. I'm gonna try to actually watch it. I'm gonna go extra credit. not that I get anything.
I get the feeling that Dave's trying to prove that he's like the ultimate movie fan, the ultimate binge watcher.
Where you cut that off, I felt like I sounded like the kid, like trying to like, I know I didn't make it to class like the last two Tuesdays, but like if I watch the thing, the other thing.
Oh, you got the other thing. It's like, hey guys, I watched Krampus for the week at the dollar store. Okay,
that's not even the one that went to theaters.
No, this is the dollar store Krampus. Come on, guys.
No, that's just another Krampus movie with Krampus. Yeah. It has nothing to do with
the. It's the Krampus dollar store version. And by the way,
It's a little early in the year to talk about Krampus. Yeah, give us a couple more months.
I'm probably going to save this for like 2 months. So,
there's actually a new version coming out in November or December. Straight to 4K UHD. Yeah. No, I mean a different cut of it called the Naughty Cut.
Oh, the Krampus.
Oh, you're just talking about, he's talking about the famous Krampus. He's talking about the real Krampus. Okay. Yeah.
I was like,
with Adam Scott.
Are you talking about this Krampus that I
you're talking about? No, he's talking about the movie that like set off the Krampus craze. You know?
Gotcha. So,
actually, one could argue that it wasn't Krampus that set off the Krampus craze, but a movie called Rare Exports. But you know, we'll get into that later.
Oh my gosh, Rare Exports. Oh,
so good.
So good.
Great movie.
Great movie.